Okay, I think this is the second time for me to be up here. If there was a title for today's message, I think I'd just say simply, it's following Jesus, doing what Jesus did, and we're looking at healing the sick. So I'm going to talk about what the Bible says about healing. And we're going to look at how Jesus healed people and the apostles as well. So I want to cover four main themes and some pitfalls that we can get into when it comes to looking at healing. So one of the things, before I start, I want to share a story. It's quite humorous, really. Happened a couple of years ago, maybe. My neighbour, Kyrwyn, has got a daughter called Zoe. She's actually the cleaner, so she cleans my house every fortnight, which is good. So I'm glad that she does help me in that way. Well, her boyfriend and now husband, Ben, had a bad back as one occasion. And I used to go over. We used to have lots of socials and call over for a cup of tea, just chat, just chilling out. We used to just talk, and I just be myself, talk about God or talk about what they were talking about and try and bring God into it. And I remember one time I had a Bible and I was reading one of the parables and one of the stories of Jesus healing, a short story, Jesus healing a sick person, because Ben had a sore back, okay? But he was, at this point, he was kind of ridiculing what I was saying and trying to make fun, you know, as people do. So he kind of wasn't taking it seriously, So he didn't actually, I did pray for him. Nothing happened to him. But what I didn't discover, as Zoe was watching on, she'd suffered that day with a terrible migraine. And she said, "Oh, Reese, my migraine is totally gone." And yet she didn't even get prayed for. So you've got to be very creative, open-minded to what God wants to do. Because the Holy Spirit is not in a box and he can do, you know, anything, really. So it's about being led by God and being led by the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, I didn't see that come in, but I know God loves to heal and Jesus loves to heal. So I wanted to share that story. So, and that leads me on to talking about we can be in the danger in church or in Christian circles of being led by our experiences rather than our theology or what the Bible says. So there's a danger that when, for instance, when we look at healing, when we've prayed for someone and that person doesn't get healed, we can get discouraged. That can happen. But there is a risk then that experience will dictate our faith. So our faith is not in our experience. Our faith is in God, in Jesus Christ, the healer. So it's wrong to think that I've not seen much. So I'm not going to expect much. So God wants to challenge our way of thinking in terms of our faith in God. Because I don't hold empty hands here because I know that I've experienced the new birth. I've come from darkness to light and I've given my life to Jesus Christ because he's my savior. And so the Bible says the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead now lives in you. So if the spirit that has the power to raise Jesus from the dead, lives in you. So all things are possible. And Jesus even said that to us. He said of us, you know, that we'll see greater things than what he actually did. So Jesus said that you'll do greater works, miracles, healings than me because I go to the Father. This is from John. If you've got your Bibles, go to John 14, verse 12. It says, "I assure you, and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me will also do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Now, Jesus is the truth. He wouldn't lie, would he? So who's got it? Either I don't think I want to disagree with Jesus. So I think best thing to do is to acknowledge that Jesus is right and that I'm just going to press on, believe in Jesus for miraculous, for healings. So that's a wonderful passage in John. I'll come back to that later. So that was my first point. So the first point is that don't let your experiences dictate your theology or dictate your faith. Let your faith rest in the words of Jesus Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. And he said we can do even greater things than what he did. And he was talking to his disciples or his followers. Okay, and the second point I'm going to talk about is for healing, there is no set formula, okay? So there's no magic formula to it. So when we look through the Gospels and the book of Acts, we see lots of different ways that Jesus and the disciples brought healing to people. And Jesus didn't actually pray for the sick. Oftentimes, he would just say a word or touch someone or he'd command the demons to leave. So if we look at, there's lots of scripture portions for this. Matthew 8:15 says, he touched it by the hand and the fever left her. So he didn't actually say a word, he just touched her. Matthew 8:32, he told the demons to leave. So there was a story of men who were demon-possessed, and they were kind of like outcasts, and they were, you know, going around tombs. And this is in Matthew 8:32. So I'm going to actually go to that passage. So it says, it says, Jesus commanded them, okay, this is the story of, Jesus sets two demonized men free. He sets them free. So this is when Jesus went to the other side of the lake. When they arrived on the other side of the lake, it's Jesus and his disciples, in the region of the Gadarenes, two demonized men confronted Jesus. They lived among the tombs of the cemetery and were considered so extremely violent that no one felt safe passing through that area. The demons screamed at Jesus, shouting, Son of God, what do you want with us? Leave us alone. Have you come to torment us before the appointed time? There was a large herd of pigs feeding nearby. So the demons pleaded, if you cast us out, send us into the herd of pigs. Jesus commanded them, then go. And at once the demons came out of the men and went into the pigs. Then the entire herd of crazed pigs stampeded down the steep slope and fell into the water and drowned. The men who were herding the pigs fled to the nearby town and informed the people of all that had happened to the demonized men. Then everyone from the town went out to confront Jesus and urged him to go away and leave them alone. Now, this is a tragic story about people. This is what I call pig-headed people, really, because these people, this man had been tormented, and he might well have been naked. He had cuts and bruises, and these demons were tormenting him. And Jesus had compassion on him, and Jesus saw his value was worth more than 2,000 pigs, because he allowed the demons. To go into the pigs. And so the people were pig-headed, really, because they considered the value of these 2,000 pigs of much more value than these two men who were now in their right mind. And so that is such a sad way to look at people, really, the way the people of that village responded to Jesus' wonderful healing. So that really comes on to my next point, is we have to have the compassion and love of Jesus, but I'll come back to that. But it's, it really struck me that the people of the village were not rejoicing. These two men were, from being tormented, mentally ill, now were in their right mind because of the love and grace and the mercy of Jesus. So that was the big challenge for Jesus. So he left that area because they didn't appreciate him. They didn't recognize him as the Son of God with authority. And they didn't recognize him, so he left that area. So there's other instances. So he commanded the demons to leave, and they left. He said, go, and they left. And there's other instances then. So there's people as well. People can can receive a healing from Jesus because of their own faith. So there's a well-known passage in Matthew 9 of the lady with an issue of blood. So she had continuous bleeding on a time of the month, and she had a problem that wasn't resolved, and she spent all her money on doctors, and instead of getting better, it got worse. So she was in a crisis point, really. And during those times, it was forbidden for women, especially during that time of month, to go out into the public, and they could have been stoned. But she knew that Jesus, there was healing in Jesus. So she said, well, if Jesus can't touch me, I will go and touch Jesus. So she said to herself, well, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, then I'll be healed. And so Jesus commended her for that, because he sensed the power had come out of her. Because there is power in Jesus. There is power in Jesus. And she just grabbed hold of that. That is faith. She just grabbed hold of it. And she was healed that instant. So grabbing on to someone, grabbing on to Jesus, that there's another way of faith. And we also read that the apostles also, people would want to just grab their clothes, and they got healed. Jesus said, your faith has healed you. So it was an expression of faith that lady got healed. Jesus also, where there was atmosphere where there wasn't faith, in the case of Jairus, and he was a synagogue leader, and his daughter was ill, and actually died. Jesus actually threw out people who were mourning, because he didn't want a spirit of death in that place. He threw them all out, and he just took in three faithful disciples. Peter and John were one of them, and the parents. And on that occasion, going back to the people who were ridiculing him, they just laughed at him. So he just threw them out, and he allowed just the three disciples and the mother and father of this child who had died. So what Jesus did, he took the girl by the hand, and she got up. So all he did, he just grabbed, and she just rose from the dead. She just came alive again. And in the Bible, there are many instances where Jesus commands the dead, the evil spirits or demons, just to come out. He just didn't mess about. He didn't have a chat with them. He just said, get out. And they left, because they knew his authority. And another man who recognized authority was the centurion. So there was centurion's servant. So that passage talks about there was a centurion, I think, who's had a servant, and he was sick, and on the verge of death. And Jesus said, he sent a servant to Jesus to say to come and heal him. But Jesus said, "Oh, come at once." And then he came back and said, well, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word and you'll be healed. So this man recognized the authority of Jesus. And he commended him for his faith. And he said, in all of Israel, I haven't seen anyone with such faith. But you see, Jesus recognized this man was a man under authority. So, and he knew about the authority this man had. And just say the word and it'll be done. So he didn't question that. So when we serve in Jesus, we know that he has all authority. Doesn't Jesus say, all authority has been given to me, now go make disciples? So if we've been given authority, we should stand, we should be bold and say, yeah, we've got authority. Doesn't Jesus command us to lay hands on the sick and for them to get healed? But you see, if in this story is a remarkable story, because this man wasn't even, he wasn't even a Jew, so he would have learned, you know, he just heard of Jesus, but he wouldn't have known the Jewish customs, and he wouldn't have known but he did recognize one thing, that Jesus had all authority. But he also, if we think about having authority, we think about being an ambassador. An ambassador is someone who represents the country. So if an ambassador of Great Britain went to America, when the ambassador speaks, it's as if the country speaks. So this is what Jesus talks about when he talks about the kingdom. So he's talking about the kingdom is coming, and the kingdom is here. So let's declare what the kingdom has done. If the kingdom is in us, then we should expect signs and wonders. We should expect healing because it's been done. There are also examples where Jesus approached the unlovable, the people despised, such as the lepers. In Mark 1:41, we read this. We read about the story of some lepers who really, people in that culture, in that society, they wouldn't touch them because they could get infected. There's a risk of getting infected by leprosy. So they would have to say, oh, we're unclean, you know, and they couldn't go into the villages and buy and sell or go to swimming baths or do any regular things because they were unclean. They had this leprosy. And so Jesus, well, it was going against all the taboos of the day, and he just went and approached them. Mark 1:41, he says, being deeply moved with tender compassion, Jesus reached out and touched the skin of the leper and told him, of course I want you to be healed. So now be cleansed. So he just agreed with the man. He said, be cleansed. And instantly the leprous sores completely disappeared and his skin became smooth. So that man got healed by being touched and the word. Jesus also made mud pies on one occasion. When there was a blind man who had, there's a blind man who approached Jesus, and Jesus made some mud, some clay, and rubbed it in the man's eyes, and he just told him to go and wash in the pool. So Jesus sometimes asks the people when he'll, what do you want? Or go and do this, go there, you know? So people have to respond to that, what he has to say. Sometimes it's not automatic. People have to respond and act on what he says. And so it was the case of this. And there's another instance where there was lepers, and Jesus told them to go show yourself to the priest. And as they walked, they got healed. So sometimes there's an action that has to follow command of Jesus in these stories. So Jesus also spoke to body parts. He spoke to eyes and ears and tongue, for a person who had a speech impediment and was deaf. And he said, just open up now. He just said, open up. He didn't pray. He just said, open up. In Mark 7, we see the persistence of a foreign woman. So someone who wouldn't know about the first five books of the Bible. So she was a foreigner, and she was persistent because she kept coming to Jesus. She wanted a daughter who was on the verge of death to be healed, and because of her persistence, she also received a healing. So that teaches us something, that being persistent, it does bring results. Okay. Because Jesus told her that he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel, so the Jews. But she persisted and got the healing that she needed for her daughter. Jesus often asked questions as well. He said about blind Bartimaeus came up to him. And because he was a blind man who heard that Jesus was in town. And he just shouted out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shouted out above all the crowd. Because he was desperate for his healing. But Jesus didn't know what he wanted, so he asked, what do you want? And he said, I want to see again. He said, go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. So immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So that's some of the stories of healings of Jesus. And now I'm going to talk about some of the what we read in Acts as well. Because does anybody know why the book is called the Book of Acts? Open question. Does anyone know? Yeah. Actions. Because they did something, didn't they? So in the book of Acts, the disciples, they did something. They acted. So they didn't just sit down and say, oh, well, Jesus is gone. You know, what are we going to do now? They said, no, actually, Jesus said, you'll be filled with power. You'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that power, Holy Spirit, in them, gave them the boldness to preach about Jesus. You know, and they were very bold. And you read this in Acts 2. And one of the amazing stories that I love is Acts 3. Because at this point, Jesus has died and he's appeared to his disciples and he's risen again. So he's told them, I've got to go to the Father. And the promise of the Holy Spirit has arrived and they received that at the day of Pentecost. And so this is a few days after that. And Peter and John, two of his disciples, they go into, they're about to approach a temple, I think, yeah. So I'm going to read this account. And this is from the Passion Translation. I love this translation. It's really good. It's really good Passion Translation, the Bible. I'd recommend it. So it's Acts 3, verses 1 to 9. So I'm going to read this. One afternoon, Peter and John went to the temple for 3 o'clock prayer. As they came to the entrance called the Beautiful Gate, they were captured by the sight of a man crippled from birth being carried and placed at the entrance of the temple. He was often brought there to beg for money from those going into worship. When he noticed Peter and John going to the temple, he begged them for money. Peter and John, looking straight into the eyes of the crippled man, said, "Look at us." Expecting a gift, he readily gave them his attention. Then Peter said, "I don't have money, but I'll give you this. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." Peter held out his right hand to the crippled man. As he pulled the man to his feet, suddenly power surged into his crippled feet and ankles. The man jumped up, stood there for a moment and stunned, and then began to walk around. And he went into the temple court with Peter and John. He leapt for joy and shouted praises to God. When all the people saw him jumping up and down and heard him glorifying God, they realized it was the crippled beggar they had passed by the front of the Beautiful Gate. Astonishment swept over the crowd, for they were amazed over what had happened to him. This is amazing, isn't it? A really amazing story. Wait a minute. One question came to me when I read this. Why did they say, look at us? Why did they say, look at us? You see it in verse 4. Peter and John, looking straight in the eyes of the crippled man, said, look at us. Shouldn't they? Yeah, maybe, yeah. Possibly, if he's looking up, yeah. But I think, shouldn't he have said, look at Jesus? Why didn't he say, look at Jesus? Because Jesus is not there anymore, is he? He'd lived his life, and he's gone back to heaven. Yeah. So, because they knew, Jesus said, unless I go, I cannot send the Holy Spirit. And Jesus walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus also says, I can only do what I see my Father do. So, the fact is that at that point, Jesus wasn't there on earth. Jesus was at the right hand of God with the next to the Father. But he sent the Holy Spirit. But Jesus and Peter and John recognized that they'd been filled with the Holy Spirit, recognized that they carry the power of Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So that they didn't have gold and money, but they'll give what they had. So they'd received the resurrection power of Jesus. And so this man had received a wonderful, wonderful miracle. He'd been there years and years and years, and one day he'd received a wonderful healing. Because these men knew the authority they'd received from Jesus, knew the power that had gone going through them. Because it's the same power that is in us today. Because Jesus is alive. He didn't stay on the cross. He rose again, and he's the right hand of the Father. So because we serve a living Jesus, we can expect miraculous. And there was no answer. No one could explain. They couldn't explain this because no scientist could explain what happened to this man, how he, you know, received his healing. But God is the answer. Because he says later on, faith in Jesus' name has healed this man standing before you. It is faith that comes through believing in Jesus' name that has made this crippled man walk in front of your eyes. Because we are believers, we believe. We believe. That's what we sing about. We believe in healing. We believe people can be resurrected. We believe people can be saved. So these men were on a mission. They were in the book of Acts. It's a wonderful book. And I'd love to see more and more, you know, this carrying on. It shouldn't never end, the book of Acts. We should see more works of God. We should see more people come into faith, as in the book of Acts. So, yeah, let's see. Yeah, so the disciples, in Acts 5:12, it says, the laying on of hands at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were continually taking place among the people. So they also saw something in Jesus. They saw him lay hands on people, touch people, and they did likewise. So to do what your master did, you do not need a lead-in. You do not need a prompting, because Jesus has done it already. So to follow what Jesus did, you do not need a prompting. You just do what he did, and you'll see the results. So this is exactly what the apostles did. They did what Jesus did. As many people were becoming believers, so more and more people. So they said here that there were so many people coming to Jesus and coming to faith in God to such an extent that they even carried their sick out into the streets and put them on coats and sleeping pads so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on one of them. That's incredible. So they knew that if these group of men and women, they knew that if Peter's shadow passed by, they could get healed. They just wanted to be there. Isn't that incredible? Imagine if we can see shadows here, right, because of the lighting. If my shadow or your shadow passed someone and see someone get healed, I think that's amazing. Why not now? Who said it's not possible now? So I think that's a really incredible thing, because Jesus also, people were getting close to Jesus and power was coming out of Jesus where people had faith. And so faith is infectious, and it's something that we need to get hold of and cultivate, and something we need to just believe for the impossible. So in some of these stories, we see that Jesus had compassion and love for the people. So his love and compassion compelled him to share of the kingdom. We read about that in the story when he's on the mountain. He's sharing about the values and qualities of God and how to live. We see this with Jesus all the time. So in Luke 7, so I'm just going to go and talk more about the compassion and love of Jesus, because that's what compels us to pray for the sick or to share the love of Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again. It's because God loves the world. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. Whoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have eternal life. Because we've received love from God, we can give out love. So unless you've been filled with love, you cannot give it. You can't give away what you haven't received. So unless you were filled with God, filled with the love of God, you can't give it away. So there's something about Jesus. Where was the source of the power and the love that Jesus had? And it was something we see that, you know, it's in his relationship with the Father. So in Luke 7, there was a widow whose son died. And so Jesus notices this, and he sees the coffin, and it was her only son. She was a widow, and it must have been a tragic situation, because in those days, it was really tough if you were a widow. How are you going to provide for yourself? How are you going to live? So when he saw her, he felt great compassion. And this is in Luke 7 for her, and said to her, "Do not weep." He touched the coffin and said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the young man sat up. So another point is, of course, love and compassion comes from God. And in order to have that love and compassion, we need to see God for who he really is. We need to recognize that he's the creator of the universe and that he sent Jesus on a mission to save us and to be his brothers and sisters and to be children of God. because I'm a good news preacher. I like to preach good news. When I read the Bible, especially the New Testament, I just see good news. It's always good. When Jesus is around, good always came out. But then again, so Jesus always hung around with people. He was with people. So love and compassion can only come when you are with people, to know what people are going through, to understand them, their situations. So when you're with people, you can understand and you can get alongside them and help them. So Jesus did. He spent time with people. And so that's something for us to consider. Like, it's great to meet and have fellowship with other believers, but are we meeting up with people who are not Christian, who don't know Jesus? Are you spending time with people and being a positive influence on their lives? Because Jesus did that, you know, he was with the people, and they were changed because of his relationship with the Father, because of who he was. They were changed because people got convicted. They thought, you know, there was a story of a guy who was a tax collector, and he went up onto a tree, you know, to see, because he was a short fella. He went up onto a tree and saw Jesus, and Jesus said, "I'm going to come and stay at your house." The Pharisees were astounded by that, because he's going to stay with a notorious sinner. You know, he's a tax collector. He's cheating people. But Jesus didn't care. He said, "No, I'm going to stay with him. He's people." Jesus didn't see that. He just saw people as people, all made in God's image. So he had pity on people. The only ones he came hard against were the Pharisees, who were proclaiming to be followers of the law, but were not kind to people, and were leading people astray. So the last quality is faith. So I've talked about a lot of faith in this, you know, in my talk so far, but we see this in the book of Acts. They actually took responsibility, the apostles. They did take responsibility, and like I said earlier, they acted. So Jesus had spent 3 years with them. He poured his life into the lives of these 12 men. And so they saw something in Jesus. And so they learned. They made many mistakes. Many, many mistakes. And it's okay to make mistakes, because that's how we learn in life. We make mistakes, we get it wrong. But Jesus had so much compassion, so much mercy. So, you know, he was so patient with them. And that's how, you know, Jesus calls us to be with one another. And it's a real high calling when we come to Christ. He wants us to live like he did. And these three men, even you know, when they messed up several times, and you know, they denied him, or they walked out on him and they left him, he still stuck with them. And so I've already covered this point already, but Jesus knew that they were gonna receive the Holy Spirit, and that they were gonna be filled with power. So And the result of that was, I'll read that from Acts, Acts 2. If we go back to Acts 2, I'll read this. Because I think it's important to know that Jesus doesn't equip us to do a job without giving us the tools to do the job. Why, that wouldn't be good if you're in a job and you're asked, say if you're a carpenter and you weren't given any tools to do the job, or if you're a plumber and you had no tools to do the job, that wouldn't be a very good employer, would it? So in the same way, Jesus also equips his followers to do the job that he's called us to do, which is share the good news. So in Acts 2, it says, this is prophesied in the Old Testament, in the book of Joel, before in the Old Testament, said that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we would receive him. So the Holy Spirit is a person. It's a person of God. It's not a thing or an it. It's a person, and it's God himself. So I'm going to read Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speak in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all of these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" However, some made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, he raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "So fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you this. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon of blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, and you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life and will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here today, to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God, our Lord God, will call. With many other words, he warned them. He warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And it goes on then. It's an amazing, amazing story that. So he just told them what happened. That's all he did. He said, he gave them a bit of history. He said what they did. And he said that Jesus is the Lord, and this is the truth. So this was the first time that the church actually raised its voice, and so Peter, you know, he had boldness and courage, and he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid of the Pharisees. Before we see the disciples, they were afraid of all so many things, you know, when they were in the sea, in the water, and they were expert fishermen, so they should know the seas. They were still afraid, and Jesus, and he just, you know, and there were other occasions when they were afraid. So But they kept messing up. But now they had this boldness. And if you continue to read the book of Acts, you know, you'll see many other examples where if you read the story of Stephen, Saul's conversion, incredible. They had incredible boldness, and they were just weren't afraid to proclaim the name of Jesus, and they weren't ashamed of him. So we can they were grateful, glad, and they rejoiced in Jesus, and they kept on praising him. So I always think it's good just to enjoy God. And it's important to enjoy God, because if without enjoying God and the goodness of God, you can't express that to other people. Because Jesus wasn't boring to be around with. He was a lot of fun, and he was God himself, but he wanted people to live life to the full, because that's what the Bible says. He says, I've come to give you life, and life in abundance. So a friend of mine from Leeds, Chris Frost, he used to say this, because he's an evangelist, and he used to say, Jesus healed all, Paul healed many, and I'm still learning, you know. So we're all learning. I want to encourage people to say, yeah, you know, God's done so much for me. I've been filled with his spirit. Why not? Why can't I just do what he has called me to do? So that brings me back to Mark 16, one of my favorite passages, Mark 16, verse 15. And this is like the great commission. So when Jesus actually speaks to us in the Bible, those are the words we really should take seriously, because we've put our trust in him. He says, Mark 16:15. He said to them, as you go into this is from the other version, the Passion version. They might read differently in yours. So Jesus now, he's at this point, Jesus has died. He's risen again. He showed himself to his disciples. And he strengthened his disciples, and he's about to go to heaven as he was promised. And he said to them, as you go into all the world, preach openly the wonderful news of the gospel to the entire human race. Whoever believes the good news and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe the good news will be condemned. And these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. They will speak in tongues. They will be supernaturally protected from snakes and from drinking anything poisonous. And they will lay hands on the sick and heal them. So that's what, if we keep reading that and claim what it says, let it get into your heart and your head that, yeah, I will lay hands on sick and believe them to be healed. No, so this is Jesus' promises to every one of us. It's not to some special people at the front. It's not to, you know, specific individuals. It's to all believers. So he doesn't just address, he's addressing all disciples, anyone who has faith in him. Because he is with the Father. So he says, one of the key, I think it is important to use the name of Jesus, because he says, in my name you'll do these things. So, because when Jesus took the disciples, knew he was going to heaven, before Jesus died, they kind of were asking him all about where he was going. They didn't understand it. Because I want to just bring up this passage, because I think it's really important. It's the key is our relationship with God. If we have, love God, then from there, you know, we can know what he wants for us. Unless we spend time with him, enjoying God, we cannot, you know, share that love first. So Thomas said to him, this is where he comforts his disciples in John 14, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know where you are going? How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know the Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father and I'll do whatever you ask in my name. So that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. So what do? We ask in his name. And who's going to do it? Jesus does it. So it's not you doing it. So it's not something you have to work up. We just ask in his name and leave the results with him. So it's the Father living in Jesus. But we are in Christ. So it's the power of the Holy Spirit through us. It's going to do the work. So, and he will do it through us. So we are just like, we're just the vessels that we're filled with God, and he will do the work. So I've talked about, I hope I've covered most of, we covered a lot here. I know there's a lot to digest, a lot to think about, but really the key is to know that we are in Christ. When you believe in Jesus Christ, and when you ask him to be, ask to be filled with his Spirit, and he will do that, because he's faithful. He's faithful he loves to give, fill us with his Spirit, to filled with God. And then we can go out in his power then. There we go. So one of the sayings I always say is like, I know I got it from someone else, but I believe in the supernatural because I believe in God. And I believe that anything's possible because we serve a big God, a God who created the heavens and earth and yet chooses to live in us. So, but the greatest miracle of all is salvation. When a sinner repents and believes the good news and puts their faith in Jesus Christ, that is the greatest healing and miracle that we can ever can be possible. So what I wanted to do, now we've heard a lot. I know the word, the Bible says that the word went out and healed people. Okay, so Jesus is the word made flesh, and some people just get healed just from hearing the word of God. So I want us to have faith and believe that as we read the words, believe it's going to do you good. Or you read it to someone who doesn't know God. Although faith can arise because the word brings faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So unless you declare the word of God, and the Bible says that if we pray in his name, he will do it. So what I'd like us to do is maybe me to go into small groups, 4 or 5 people. You can offer to pray for anyone with healing or any issue. And let's just believe, take God at his word and say, God, you said it in your word. And express faith, because I want people just to believe God for anything. Because God loves us and he loves to impart that faith, okay? So, and do it, and just don't. It's not like it hasn't got to be, you know, a very long prayer. Just a simple prayer. Sometimes you just touch someone. Sometimes you just say, "Headache, be healed in the name of Jesus." Headache, go. Or you just command whatever it is. Speak that body part that's causing problems. So maybe we could do that if that's all right still. Or, maybe. Say 5.
If someone there who knows they need healing and would like prayer, or would like to be healed, you know, as Reese was saying, really, we've got authority in the name of Jesus. So I think it's good, as Reese said, to actually speak healing into that situation. Yeah. So if it's a headache, say headache, be gone in Jesus' name, or be healed in Jesus' name. And it's actually standing there.
Just mix with people you don't normally, whatever.